Hello and welcome to this episode of Pints Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hot Said.
And I'm Jason Hendrick with Everybody's Hungry.
We're steadily working our way through a flight of Island Brewing Company's beers. We've do a search for the avocado honey ale.
Yep.
It gets our endorsement
for... It was a good starter to the series.
It was a good starter for the series, and especially for the summertime, which is almost every day here in California, Southern California anyway, for the burger season. I mean, when you're throwing just fresh-cut veggies and, of course, avocado, and just a really good
We didn't talk about street tacos in that episode, but a really nice carne asada with some... Oh. Onions and cilantro
sure
would probably work great too. A corn tortilla would probably heighten that beer a little bit. But go back and watch that episode because we had some other interesting pairings. We're moving on to the Jubilee Ale.
Yes, which is Island Brewing Company right here.
And they're at islandbrewingcompany.com.
There it is. Yay, we've got the
we got it right.
Address. Islandbrewing.com, located in Carmadura, California. So just because this may be your first one, I'm going to tell you that they've got one of the best locations of a brewery ever. They sit across so that the Amtrak goes right in front of them. And so every time a train goes by, everyone can raise up a glass and cheers the poor people.
Right. No mooning, everyone. Cheers glasses.
Cheers the poor people who are on that train and not aren't sitting on the patio drinking beer. Then there's a state park in front of them, the state beach. And then it's just ocean for as far as you can see. And it's a wonderful thing. One of my favorite things is every once in a while on their Facebook page, they'll put up a screen grab of what the webcam looks like and or just photos.
Just to rub it in.
Right. Just Instagram photos from inside as you're looking through their big pull-up double doors as they're looking out at the sunset. It's gorgeous. Those aesthetics, you know, aside, they brew some fantastic beers. And we've had their double IPA, through the Casa Pacifica Festival, which was an honorable mention for that competition. I'm looking at the side of the Jubilee Ale here.
Jubilee Ale. We've done that. This is one, and we've talked about this in other episodes, but this is one of those moments where there's a very similar nomenclature. There's another brewery out there doing the Jubilee Ale. You want to set yourself apart, but what's cool about this beer, it is the Jubilee Ale. It does elicit a celebration. There's a lot of flavor going on in this glass right now, and I think that's one way we're going to remember that it's the Jubilee Ale, because we're celebrating some really awesome aroma and some depth of flavor.
Yeah, this one, silver medal GABF, gold medals at the LA County Fair. And for those of you who think the LA County Fair is just what is that? No,
it's a big deal.
Yeah, and they just actually had their last one, and the breweries that are all saying we won these gold medals, and it was a lot of fun to see these breweries, how excited they are to win these gold medals. This is one of Tom Hilton's favorite beers, though, isn't it? And you know, when he was, this is. He follows this arc, a familiar arc, especially to me and a lot of beer people, I think, that when you start drinking craft beers, you start to get into these Belgian beers, these big Belgian beers, these big flavorful, and then you start to throw into some hops. And now I see more often that he's doing hoppy beer.
But he's holding on to this as a favorite. And Tom Hilton, for those of you who don't know, is of Tom and Sandy 805. He's a primary host of that AM radio show. It's a 3-hour show on Saturdays that's actually where you and I met, Curtis,
right.
And how this show came to be through some lobby networking. But Tom definitely endorses this beer. And when any chance he has Island on the radio, he talks about the great lineup and especially the Jubilee Ale, which you can't deny that. I mean, when you smell this beer for a Belgian style, it's got a lot of deep, rich notes. I get some tobacco, some like dark fig, some cocoa, both on the in the aroma and on the palate.
Yeah, the cocoa was the thing that hit me just right off on a fresh pour. Bittersweet chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
It's morphed a little bit. The cocoa and the figs have kind of come together, and I can't separate those two apart anymore. They're just. It's one of those fabulous things that happens.
Yeah, it's almost, for me, it's kind of like doing a ganache truffle, like a fig truffle.
Oh, yeah.
Because Truffle Hounds does some similar things to that. with that cocoa dusting on the outside. Like you're saying, they're so intertwined that it's hard to separate them, but you know they're both in there.
Yeah, so this is a Belgian-style ale. I guess we haven't even really talked about
We're gushing about it already.
But yeah, a Belgian-style ale, and you know, they're talking about some of the things on here. You know, it's a sweet beer, so if you... It balanced on the sweet side. So if you're looking for a hoppy beer, this is not your beer. But this is one of these giant malty beers, and giant in flavor. And it's not so much that it's really, really heavy, but you're going to know that, I think you should know that you would probably be best to share this bottle.
Yeah, but I think it's, you definitely want to share, but when we talk about that maltiness and the sweetness, there's enough of an earthiness in there too. There's like almost like a lingering pepper or a five spice kind of Chinese powder for me. And that tobacco that I was picking up on, especially in the aroma, it's very similar to like a humidor. I know, you know, Cigar City has a humidor series, and I can relate to the two beers in that way because it leaves that fresh, wet tobacco kind of lingering smell for me.
I like the tobacco. I guess suggestion, it kind of opens that up to me, especially a humidor, not necessarily the smoked version of
it. No, it's got to be unburnt, unsmoked.
Right. So walking into a humidor, one of the things that I've become familiar with now is the five spice, and I'm sure that it's been, around me all over. I just wasn't able to pick that out. And more often now, and especially in where I came from, it was Sunflowers on the Square. She uses five spice in several of the things that she does there. And so just recently, my wife and I were eating a cookie, and what is this?
Yeah.
What's that? What were we trying to pull out? And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, you know what? This is five spice. And it's that tiny bit. It's just enough different from the nutmeg, Christmassy spices.
Yeah, it's not as, I think that's a great way to distinguish it, because it's not as holiday for me. It leaves that more kind of earthy bitterness, but with that little bit of nutty component that you're talking about.
Well, and this is a year-round beer for Island Brewing, but even on the description on the side, it's talking about the joyous season and everything else. So this is obviously a beer that they intended, at least originally, it sells well enough on its own that they can sell it in June at the anti-Christmas. Really, we're coming up to that. But, June 25th would be...
I know, I just never heard anyone call it the anti-Christmas.
Now holiday, I kind of lost my track of thought.
We're talking about the holiday the flavor aspects of those holiday spices. But this has a little bit more of that, kind of earthy, peppery, almost mushroomy kind of integration with those spices that are coming out, not as much as the holiday mold spice direction.
This would be one of these great beers that when you pick up and you just kind of hold on to one of those gloomy, chilly nights where maybe you're at the beach. For us, or whether you're on travels and you're going into an elevation and you've got the fire burning and those kinds of things. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking, not necessarily with my head is full of holiday type food pairings, but I'm thinking of more situational beer pairings for this as a campfire, if you're out camping, those kinds of things, where this would be a really nice beer at the end of the day. You're sitting, you're cozy, maybe you've got the blanket and your sweatshirts on, and you're trying to get up close to the fire without singeing your eyebrows, and just enjoying this, just enjoying the beer and life as it kind of rolls past you.
Well, you know, based on the avocado honey episode, though, I'm kind of in a sandwich mindset, and as soon as I said mushroom, my mind kicked in terms of a food pairing, and I think a great grilled portobello mushroom cap sandwich with some fresh like zucchini and vegetables, a great sweet bun would go well with this. Or if you wanted to make the portobello more distinct and kind of the focus, a barbecue grilled portobello mushroom cap with some melted like blue cheese or something, where you're getting that great pungent mushroomy aspect, you're getting some creamy sweetness and that salty bit from the cheese.
fantastic. The blue cheese, as soon as you were going through that, and it was, I would like to think that it was this parallel that I came to it right as you, but as soon as you said it, boom, that's what it was. Having this with the portobello that you're talking about, this mushroomy sort of flavor, the blue cheese. It just so happens that this evening we're having a dinner party and we're having grilled cheese sandwiches. So
excellent.
But one of them is the is a blue cheese crumble kind of mix, and I'm trying to think of what it's mixed in with. Fontina maybe, but
ooh, that's a good pairing.
So you put these gourmet grilled cheeses, caramelized onions. But the other thing that, as going through that, I hadn't even thought about was we're going to caramelize some pears as well.
Okay.
And so that's more that, you know, that kind of gets back to that holiday.
Yeah, but it gets you the fresh fruit sweetness too, not the kind of sugared sweetness, but a juice sweetness.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking kind of Charles Dickens esque, you know, with a turkey and these pears, you know, partridge in a pear tree sort of deal. But that would be, I'm looking forward to, and we've got some left over. So I'm going to send the other beers home with you, but I'm going to keep this one for me.
I want to know how this pairing turns out, because I think the Fontina aspect, mixing the Fontina with the blue cheese, is going to be a great component too, because the Fontina is going to be more nutty. So it'll have a little bit of sweetness like you'd think of with cashews and peanuts, but it'll pull out the nuttiness, which could balance some of this malty aspect.
Right.
If you're not into blue cheese as much, if it's a little too pungent for you, try its cousin Gorgonzola, which is going to have a sweeter cream base. I think for me, both of them have great applications, but if you're like, oh, blue cheese is too kind of pungent and
you got to go light with it.
Yeah, then the Gorgonzola should add a little more underlying sweet cream to balance out the pungency.
I like it. You know, starting off with trying to figure out how to stay away from Christmas style or holiday spiced foods and treats, I think we didn't do too bad with grilled cheese, which certainly does not sound.
We didn't do bad at all. But you know, obviously out here in the summertime, it's not always a great pairing. But if you went with a really beautiful tomato based chili, this could be really good too, because the tanginess of the tomatoes, if you do fresh dewed tomatoes in with your ground beef and seasonings, that little bit of tangy tomato aspect will cut through some of the maltiness here too. And who doesn't love a big pot of chili out of the campground?
I think this could even add, so if you went even a little heavy on kidney beans, which I don't care for all that much.
You and my mother.
On a chili, I want meat.
Well, in a traditional chili is meat and sauce.
I want meat and sauce. But the kidney bean kind of aspect, that herbaceous
And starchy
protein
component.
Starchy component to, you know, that, I don't know, is there protein in a kidney bean?
Oh, there's a lot of protein in kidney beans.
Right, so, but that, just is for some reason, the kidney bean aspect, the skin is resonating with some component of this beer.
And a lot of people put fresh vegetables into their chili. So we talked about, tomatoes, but a good crisp, fresh onion is going to be great, you know, because you're going to get that cut through that onion provides no matter what dish you're using it in. So, again, cool evenings on a summer night, especially camping. Take a bottle of Jubilee Ale and a pot of chili.
There it is. Mm. Well, and a chili on a campfire.
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's
cowboy
style. That's the way to live. I'm not talking about like cooking it in.
Oh,
the can.
Not a cast iron.
No. I want it in the cast iron pot. I'm not talking. I'm not talking
because I had this
a can of Hormel or whatever.
No, I had this vision of like a the tri sticks with the little pot on a string hanging down below.
The little ring thing.
Yeah,
and the triangle. Come and get it. Did you do that while you're camping? Did you do any chili?
No, when we were in Yosemite, we were unable to cook at our campgrounds. They had removed all the fire pits based on fire danger and volume of people. However, I shouldn't say we didn't do any camping. In our campground, we didn't do any
cooking.
We went a mile and a half to 2 miles down the river to Sentinel Beach, where they still have grills available. And I seared up a ribeye with some asparagus and yellow potatoes.
I did see that picture.
So I did get some camping cooking in. But next time we're going to probably stay at a site with it where we have to use a tent. We don't get the luxury of a canvas tent cabin with a door, but I missed cooking. Like, I don't camp a lot, but when I do, right, I want to get up in the morning early, like we did at the Firestone mm-hmm. Walker Invitational.
Right.
Get the fire going at like 6:30 a.m. and cook on the fire.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. That's the whole thing. Those
Otherwise, you're just sleeping outside.
Yeah.
You're not really camping.
Yeah. Those are my best memories of camping, too, is just the morning breakfast, and then, you know, generally lunch is whatever. It doesn't usually involve the fire, but the dinner when all the campfires are going, and then there's this waft of smoke and the sun setting through it. It's very emotional, sort of reminiscent of any number of X-File sort of episodes where you're going through this foggy forest.
I agree with that 100%. Not to lose sight of our beer, though. Oh, you got me thinking. Next time we go to Firestone Walker and we're in an RV and we start the fire early in the morning, we still do the breakfast burritos with scrambled eggs and the bacon, but we add another layer of bacon because that awesome smoky saltiness is going to go good with this. And we drink this in the morning. This is a coffee substitute all of a sudden.
I'm so glad you said that because as you were talking about that, I thought, you know what?
This is
a great beer to have in the morning.
Yeah.
This is
Belgian waffles with syrup and salty, meaty bacon on the side. So, Jubilee ale. There you go.
So we hit some holiday seasonal pairings. We hit some just living sort of and enjoying life by the campfire pairings. And now it's a breakfast pairing. And just enjoying that it's morning and that you have a good beer.
Or my great aunt's cinnamon roll recipe with little raisins mixed into the roll.
Oh, yes. Now you're talking, Jason.
We better close out. I'm salivating.
We'll keep blowing through any number of other treats with this one. Just know that it's a great beer. Take our pairings with a grain of salt. You know, maybe you don't like camping. So that throws out.
But
half
you might
of what
have a great suggestion
about
that we're missing out on. Right. So use hashtag pints and pairings or hashtag beer suggestioneers to join the conversation and leave us your thoughts.
Right. We've got our tweet decks up, so we're watching for them. You know, we'll know when you
keep your tweet deck to yourself, sir.
we'll know when you throw something out to us, when you throw us a bone. So, you know, that said, you know, as I like to close every episode by reminding everyone to eat, drink, and be happy.
And we'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.